Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward, one that I am massively excited for because we have someone that all of you floozies are already a fan of, Brian Licious, Dr. Brian Licious, too. Welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm super good. Well, I'm okay because I have a sty, but I am, other than that, really chilling, excited about the album, excited to talk to you about Taylor's new album.
Same, dude. I'm so excited that we're doing this because obviously I've followed you on TikTok for years. And I feel like when people talk about Taylor Swift on the internet, I was reading this post where people were saying that for someone who is so like kind of bland and palatable as a person, she evokes such strong feelings in people. Like people either love her to a fanatical godlike level or people hate her. And if you say that you like her, they think that you are the stupidest, you know, little bitch on the planet. Yeah. So there's not a lot of people in the middle who can be like, I like her music, but maybe I don't like this song or this one fell off for me or this one didn't. And I feel like you talk about her in such a fun, lighthearted, kind of trolly, neutral way. So kind of tell us a little bit about how your TikTok account started.
Yeah, so I started in 2020 during the like lockdown and the pandemic, like everyone else. And it started with just like, I was one of those like normie Swiftie accounts because I've always kind of loved her. I've been a stan since 2012. And I was like, okay, let me come on here and rank my favorite songs. And then people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you ranked that song 20 or whatever. And the conversation was just so boring. And my personality is, I'm not boring. So I was like, okay, well, wouldn't it be funny if I started making these like string of jokes about her mom listening to lyrics that were like potentially like sensual. And that evoked a big response, similar to what you're saying, where like you either like really, really like feel protective of her or like you really hate her. So my comment section was full of like, how dare you talk about her private life like that? But then there were so many other people that were like, oh, this is funny. Like, it's a funny thing that you wouldn't ever think of because she's just like so untouchable.
Well, I remember you also did that like series of her giving the middle finger to Tom Hiddleston because the way that like Taylor will be like so butthurt in so many of her songs. Like I was re-listening to the debut album and the song, Why Would You Want to Break a Perfectly Good Heart? It's just such like when you're in high school and someone breaks up with you, you're like, why did you want to be mean to me? Like you actively were being mean to me by breaking up with me. And then you get older and sometimes you break up with someone and you realize like it's hard for everyone involved. But it's so funny how normally she's always like such the victim in her songs. But then when it comes to Tom Hiddleston, it's like, get fucked, bitch. I don't feel anything. Like it was just getaway car is crazy. Like,
super,
and I liked
super
him.
Crazy. I liked him too a lot. I definitely, my impression of that was that she was really treating him like garbage. I was like, that's kind of iconic though. Like I loved it. And I didn't think that other people appreciated that aspect of Reputation enough. I'm like, it's a love story for whatever the Joe guy, but like she really said F off to this other random guy.
And he was such like a stand up, like he was literally like the Prince Charming she always wanted. Like they're looking so high fashion across the globe. He kept like kissing her hand at dinner. Yeah. And it's funny that, you know, Taylor in all of her songs is like, I want a prince to take me away. She gets the prince, doesn't like it, treats him like shit, and then goes for the John Mayer, Matty Healy type of, you know, maybe allegedly Martin Johnson train wreck of a man. Yeah. And that's what she likes, you know?
But that makes her also kind of relatable to people who like can't, I don't know, don't have like a stronghold on their emotions, I guess.
The song, The Way I Loved You, has always been one of my favorites because sometimes you get like the perfect guy who's doing everything right and you're like, I feel like such a piece of shit because it's just not doing it for me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and it's that, and that's super relatable too. Like, it's honestly not, there's a line in the, I keep on forgetting what the album is called because I keep on calling it TTPTSD. But there's a line in TTPTSD where she's like, it wasn't sexy when it wasn't like a secret
forbidden
anymore or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, that's so true. Like maybe I'm also like crazy, but I really like when she is toxic.
Yeah, no, totally. It's a little bit of edge. So I'm going to ask you some questions up top. Then I think we can kind of go track by track. And because there is 31 fucking tracks, if we have nothing to say about a track, like we'll
Yes,
just kind of say a sentence and move on. Because some of these, like the song Robin, like I don't think I'm ever going to listen to it
Wait,
again.
stop. I love
Oh, you do? Okay,
it.
great. So then we'll have different perspectives. And then we'll end with some questions that the floozies wanted me to ask you. So the first question, fuck, marry, kill, Maddie Healy, Joe Alwyn, Travis Kelce.
I would kill Maddie Healy for sure.
Me
He's
too. Me
like
too.
dirty. I would well, I don't know Joe Alwyn like that, but it seems like Taylor was trying to marry him and it flopped. So I don't know if I would want to do that, but I definitely want to fuck Travis. Like he's hairy, he's tall. Like, but if I have to be in a loveless marriage with Joe, I guess that's fine.
I would do the same thing, but I would marry Joe because after being with Taylor for 6 years, like I am such a fucking creep. I would like want every single detail. And he has spent the most time with her. Well, maybe
Yeah,
Maddie
that's
has,
true.
because everybody's like, maybe they were together. And also, I know that, you're part of the Gaylor community, okay? You are like one of us over here. Fuck, marry, kill, Diana Agron, Karlie Kloss, or Lily Donaldson.
To be honest, I never fell into the Lily like lore. So I feel like I don't really know it. However, I fell really hard into the Karlie Kloss lore. It was too many coincidences. I'm like, wait, y'all are like making sense. But I would kill Lily just because I don't know her. And then I don't necessarily find any of them like sexually attractive, but I would fuck Carly because she's like a supermodel. Like, I don't know. She's just kind of like what you think about a conventionally attractive person would look like. And then Diana, I think she's kind of artsy fartsy, and I want to know all the like Glee drama because
100%.
I
Yeah.
am
The Glee cast was so messy.
Gleek.
Like,
Yeah.
ugh, God, Taylor really has there. And it's funny to me, too, because I don't, whatever, I'm just going to get a little bit creepy with it. Like, other than Taylor Swift doing the vigilante shit chair dance, I don't really see her as like that sexual of a person for some reason, even though she's talking about it in her songs. But the way that Diana, Carly, Maddie, Joe, Travis, like she is always with someone. She's always so desired by people. And it's funny because in interviews, she gives off a little bit like charming, awkward, dry wit. But the amount of people who have been with her, like she has fucked supermodels, rock stars,
She
actors, like
can
all of these
pull.
people, she must have incredible charisma. Like I really want to witness it.
I actually was giving a presentation at my job, like for my committee members. And this was when I had just gone to the Eras Tour for the first time. And I posted like a video. I was like, look, this is what I've been doing since the last time we met. And one of my bosses was like, wow, she's really attractive in that video. And I was like, what the fuck did you just say? I was like, I've never thought of her that way. Like, I turned into one of those like weird 12-year-old Swifties. I was like, you're so disrespectful.
Yes,
I just don't think of
yes.
her sexually, I guess. I don't know. She doesn't have
No,
sex appeal to
me
me.
neither. And she's like, she's so beautiful. It's not that she doesn't, it's not that
No,
she's
she's
missing
gorgeous.
anything. Like she's gorgeous and she's tall and she has like everything. I just, for some reason, like, I don't know. I'm with you. Maybe it's because I've been a fan of her since I was like in high school. So the big sister energy is there or something. I don't
Yeah,
know.
that's true. To me, I'm
Okay,
just like
well,
not into women.
yeah. Oh, so out of all of her exes, who do you find the most attractive?
I feel like an asshole for saying this, but I guess Jake Gyllenhaal, he's super sexy.
No, he is sexy.
I guess Travis, not an ex, but he's pretty hot, especially in his heyday. He's kind of like on the come down now.
Weirdly enough, like everyone forgets about him, but I did like when she was with Calvin Harris. Like they were together for
Oh
a pretty
yeah, I
long
did forget
time.
about him.
Like he's just kind of tall and quiet. So I thought, they make a good
He's
match.
hot.
He is hot. Okay. I can't say too much though. I was on TikTok live and I started talking about his nudes and then TikTok kicked me off, which is like
Oh
annoying,
shit, he
but
has
whatever.
nudes. I'm
I'll
like
send you
writing
them.
notes. Google
It's like
that
a red oak sequoia or something. Anyway,
later.
so before we get into the track by track, what were your original thoughts on PTSD since it's been about 3 days since it dropped. Your thoughts overall, how you're liking it, was it what you expected, etc.?
So my original thoughts were that, oh my gosh, this is a flop album. I'm really nervous because I was listening to it like right when it came out. And this was the first like release night that I had done sober. So I was, and I was coming in from like a hating the promo perspective. And I was like, oh, this kind of is mid. And I got really upset about it. And then like, I fell asleep because I was like, okay, I'm not waiting up for the double album, supposedly. And then it actually happened. And then I listened to that the next morning and I liked it a lot more. But I generally like Aaron Dessner, like produced songs. Same. More than the Jack ones.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is potentially a hit. And then I listened to it again that day. And I think it's because they sounded a little bit more familiar. Like I started to like it. And it just like, I don't know, I was in my chair and I just like started gyrating a little bit. And I was like, oh, wait, like this feels good. And I think I was starting to get the vibe. Like Fresh Out the Slammer is now like probably my top listen song like of the year, because I'm just so gagged by it. Yeah. So now I really love the album. I've been like listening to it on repeat.
Because it's not boppy, like in a Reputation sense, but I think you on TikTok described it as like sad stripper dancing on Thanksgiving. Yes. And like, it just is like even Down Bad crying at the gym. Like to me, that song is a vibe, but it's a vibe, not a bop. So I can like move slowly to it, but I can't do choreo. Do you know what I mean? Like it's kind of just like a vibey album.
We also weren't directed well as to what the vibe was going to be. Like I was thinking that it was going to be really sad.
We never are. Like remember with Midnights when she was in all of like the 70s aesthetic and everybody was like, here we go, 70s. And then it was like, best believe I'm still bejeweled. And I was like, what? Everybody was just like, what is going on here?
I think there needs to be more communication with Taylor and whoever's marketing her album, because there's a clear disconnect there, in my opinion, because I don't think we're ever led in the right direction. And I think that especially for this album, I was like, what the fuck department? Like, what is the setting? Where are we? And then it never hit me that we were in a psych ward. And I was like, was it supposed to be a joke? Like, was it supposed to be a surprise? I love being there.
Like Folklore Evermore was so good. Like the visuals with everything and also being quiet and, you know, just surprise dropping it. Okay, so let's get into track by track. We're going to start off with the first one, which she put out as her single, Fortnite. I personally am a little bit meh on this. It just sounds very 1975 to me, like a lot of songs on the album for good reason. And I just, you know, I just always think I could pick a better single than she could, but whatever. This is the single. It's with Post Malone, kind of. And this is like the big one where, you know, I remember when Folklore came out with the one, it was like, I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit, you know, just kind of like dropping the first song kind of sets the tone. And she says in the first verse here, I was a functioning alcoholic till nobody noticed my new aesthetic. And I would like to say, you noticed. You've been talking about Coakler and Taylor Swift doing coke and drinking and all of this stuff. What do we think about I was a functioning alcoholic line?
I was kind of gagged. So I did listen to the leak.
Me too.
I did that because I knew I was going to listen to the album like a million times. So I don't feel bad about it.
Okay. But no, it's not like, who gives a rat's ass? Like all of these people were like, so up my ass about it. And I was like, look, I paid $650 to go see her at Eras. I'm going to be streaming this album for the rest of my life. If I listen to a couple of the songs the day before, but I still stream the album, like what's the big deal? Like she literally is a billionaire. She's a mob boss. Stop. She's a billionaire. Like she's fine. Anyway, whatever.
I know. It's like, would you defend Jeff Bezos like this? Like, what are y'all talking about?
It's wild.
Yeah. But I love her new aesthetic. If it is on purpose that she is visibly on coke, allegedly. I'm like trying not to get sued. But I do love that. I think that it's so reasonable. She's like a famous person who goes to fun events. Like I'm a not famous person who goes to fun events and I'm a coke lore. Like, I don't understand.
She's also like a people pleaser. So I feel like when somebody's passing the bag around, you know, you want to people please. So you go, sure, I'll put a little bit up my nose. It would be rude to say no.
Yeah, I agree. So I love that line. I definitely, she's been giving alcoholics since like probably Reputation. Like I didn't, that did not give us like new information to me, but I do love how upfront she is being with it. That I was like, she's iconic.
And you know what I did? You
And
watched the music video for this?
yes, oh, so good.
I did love the part in the music video where she looks at the camera and sticks her tongue out, and then a pill goes on it. And that was one of the moments where, like your
Yes.
boss, I went, she's attractive right now.
Literally, I was like, wait.
The eye contact and the tongue, I was like, whoo.
Yes. You know when you like drive over a hill like really fast and then your butt clenches? That's how I felt.
100%. It was a little groin drop type of moment.
Yeah. She, that was iconic. I really loved the music video. I actually don't think I knew what Post Malone looked like before. I was like, who's that man? But he's kind of attractive. I was into it. But I think it's because he didn't have his like face tattoos sometimes. I don't like the face tattoos. When she like took like had them, I was like, ew.
Well, also, I feel like that was just like a nod to him. Like, did it have anything to do with the song? I personally, like, I'm not a fan of your music videos that are so CGI'd. I love like the You Belong With Me, the blank space. When she was doing music videos with Joseph Kahn, I just thought it was so
Oh, he's really
fantastic. Like,
good.
bring him back, bring Max Martin back. Like, the blank space music video was so fucking good. And now I don't know if it's because of COVID or because you don't want things to get out, so you have to do music videos on like a closed set rather than involve a bunch of people. But I feel like every single artist nowadays is just doing like CGI music videos. And I miss the day when like a music video told a story, because I also feel like it's so gay culture to come back from a night home at the bars and just put on different music
Yes.
videos for an hour and share them. And I'm like, I just miss like the story ones. What's your favorite
Yeah.
Taylor video?
My favorite Taylor video is probably full of CGI. It's a Look
Okay.
What You Made Me Do is probably for sure
Oh,
my favorite.
well, of I mean, that's full of CGI, but also talk about a story and the Easter eggs, all of the past versions of her climbing on themselves, like
Yes, I
incredible.
love that. That is, I mean, that album is just everything. That it's an excellent story, like from start to finish. I think that with this video with the Fortnite, it was heavy CGI, but I could feel a lot of emotion from her and the guy, Post Malone,
Her and the
whatever,
guy.
whatever his name is.
And have you seen all of the 1975 references in the
No, I
video? People
actually.
are putting together a lot of good TikToks.
I don't GAF about 1975 or Matty Healy. All I know about him is that he's like a famous in the 1975 and like racist or something. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell like what the references are,
I feel
but
you.
I'm
I
glad
think
there are.
people who are like both Swifties and fans of the 1975, which I'm with you, I'm really not a fan of theirs. I just don't like really know any of their stuff. They seem to be having an absolute ball with this album, because
Oh,
apparently there's
really?
so many, like in the way that the song titles are written to different parts of the music video, like a lot of things tie in. Now, one theory about the song Fortnite. Have you heard this? That some people think that this song is about Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas?
Oh, no, I haven't. Why do people think that?
Because, okay, A, functioning alcoholic, and people think Sophie Turner drinks. Fortnite is right, like, I think it's a British term, or maybe it's not. Okay, and then also Fortnite in America means that, like, you're spending time in America. Maybe you're not originally from there. And then also all those lines about, like, we turned into good neighbors. There wouldn't be a reason that Taylor Swift would have to still be on good terms with an ex, but Sophie Turner would have to co-parent with Joe Jonas. So maybe, anyway, I don't think that it is, because TBH, I feel like she was just hanging out with Sophie Turner for clout. Like, are they still friends?
I honestly am super impressionable, so I'll believe anything that I see online. You convinced me. I was like, oh my gosh, this song is about Sophie Turner. But I don't know if they're still friends, obviously, but I think that this would be really interesting if it was, especially that line about the neighbors. It just makes more sense. But I don't know. I kind of do hope that it's not, because I love hearing Taylor say that she wants to kill somebody.
I
But
want to
I'm
kill her. Yeah.
like, that's so relatable. But like, you're such a like a weirdo for saying that it is
That's why the
relatable, but
benefit of, I think she said before, right? Like when she writes a song, she needs to imagine that no one in the world is ever going to hear it because otherwise you
oh
don't get
yeah.
that raw diary type of entry song. And like, it's just so true. Okay,
Well, this
so
album was way too diary to
yeah.
in my opinion. I was like, hello? Is this
Some
allowed?
of the things where I was like, that's a little embarrassing, or at least like I would have phrased it in a way I would have, you know, because you always say something insane to your friends, but then the next time you talk about that to a different friend, you kind of reflect on what you said, and maybe you add a little bit of nuance or what the other person thinks, or maybe the emotions are watered down. But I love it. I'm just like here for the
Me
mess.
too. Super raw, super messy.
So the next song we have the Tortured Poets Department. The lyrics in this one, you smoked, then ate 7 bars of chocolate. We declared Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. I scratch your head and you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever. And my note in here is I wouldn't want to scratch Matty Healy's head because I think he has either dandruff or lice, but I guess she's okay to scratch his head as he falls asleep like a tattooed golden retriever. Like, first of all, A, let's talk about the Charlie Puth of it all. I think that he must have been alerted that this was going to come out because he recently posted a TikTok to like the Sabrina Carpenter Espresso song. So I bet he's like excited to try and be a part of the squad, like, or something. What do you think of the Charlie Puth line?
I find it super random, and I again, I guess for context, I'm not a huge like fan of male artists, so I'm like, why the fuck are we talking about Charlie Puth? Like, should he be a bigger artist? He's a male. He's not interesting. But I don't know. I was just like, that's so random. And then I was like, would M Matty Healy be a fan of Charlie Puth? The only thing I know about Charlie Puth is that he posts like sexy thirst traps, and I'm attracted to him.
So he was actually best friends with my cousin growing up. They both grew up in Rumson, New Jersey, and like he
Oh
would
my
sleep over at my
gosh.
cousin's place like all the time. I remember like I watched a music video because my cousins also do music. They made like this music video rapping about their blue Hyundai or something like that. And it was in like my cousin's, like he was over there all the time. He was basically
That's
like a part of their family.
crazy.
So I've never really asked for tea because like I want to respect that. But what I do know is that like he is such a musical, I don't know. I don't know enough about music to throw the word genius around, but he's got that perfect pitch, right? He went to Berkeley.
Oh,
He
yeah.
has his own music, and I think he said before that he's not super happy with it because his label wanted him to push out kind of like Disney Channel demographic music. But he
Oh, well.
produces, and him and Benny Blanco are really tight, so he produces a lot of songs that you wouldn't think that he's behind. So I think that's kind of what he wants to do.
Oh, well, that's real. That I guess that goes along very well with the album where Taylor and Marty, or sorry, Matty Healy, feel like they are these like poets that are just like, I don't know, forced to like make pop music.
Like such poets. And then we also have another interesting, so much killing in this album where she says, "You told Lucy you'd kill yourself if I ever leave, and I had said that to Jack about you, so I felt seen." And it's interesting because like I love when her songs come out and we get little tiny details about like the niche things that they're doing. But for some reason, I just didn't like this detail. And maybe it's because they're both talking about killing themselves, or maybe it's just like it just felt a little almost like, I don't know how to describe it, almost like she had to prove to people how deep their relationship was because not a lot of people knew about it. So she was weaving in all of these little intricate details that maybe don't flow, but shows people, no, this was serious. Like he said it to Lucy, and I know who Lucy is, and I said it to Jack. So like this whole thing was so deep. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think that the way that she wrote it in here is weird. Like, if it felt like, I don't know. So I felt seen. Like, I feel like it should have been a two-liner or something. I don't know. But I also find it perturbing that they would both like kill themselves for each other.
Very
I
like
don't.
Romeo and Juliet. Like, you read the
Yeah,
book in middle school and you
it's
think
kind
it's
of
true
cringy.
love.
It's like try hard, weird, like interest in each other. I don't know. But maybe that's why they feel seen by each other because they're both creepy in
Yeah,
that
well, like
sense.
Yin yang. And then also what I realized was like after having listened to the album and especially this song is a Matty Healy song, Tortured
Yeah.
Poets Department. So knowing that this is about Matty, then I circle back to when she dropped the name of the album and everybody went, oh my God, Joe Alwyn's group chat. It's obviously about
Oh,
Joe Alwyn,
yeah.
his group chat. And now that the entire album and this song specifically is about Matty Healy, I'm like, was that just a coincidence? Or did she know that people would dig up the group chat name and he would get bullied? Like, is it just some sort of sick coincidence that Joe Alwyn had a group chat similar to the title of this and we all bullied him?
I genuinely don't believe that's a coincidence because that's weird. Why would that happen? I don't know. I think that she did kind of target the marketing to go towards bullying Joe, which is fine. I would do the same about my ex,
Well,
but
also,
like,
like, he's not even like in this song or in this album, like, he's depressed, he's sad. But I would have thought there was that guy who was spreading rumors on TikTok saying that Joe Alwyn was like a alcoholic who had like abused Taylor Swift.
yeah.
And then a bunch of people were like, oh my God, maybe that's why. Remember, she was getting dinner with her friends after being locked away in the basement, and they would all unfollow Joe Alwyn at the same time. So people were like, maybe it's because he
Something
did something
crazy.
so awful. But now, like, he was
It
just
doesn't
depressed
seem.
and didn't want to marry her. So, like, why the mass unfollowing? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I think, like probably a regroup dinner of like, okay, we're not together. And if you like, if you're my friend, just unfollow. Because I've actually had friends who like didn't unfollow my exes, and I was like, what the fuck is your
Well, I always
problem?
have one friend keep following so that way I can stalk him if I ever want to, but I tell everybody else to
Oh, that's a good idea.
unfollow.
No, my friends are like, we want the tea, so everybody keeps on following. And I'm like, oh, the hate. But I have
But yeah,
shitty friends too.
the group chat name I think was just a coincidence, and sorry to Joe Alwyn. All right, so the next
Yeah.
track, my boy only breaks his favorite toys. I'm queen of sand castles he destroys. Something that I noticed in this song is, the phrasing of it was kind of giving me the same phrase of the song, This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. And I feel like
Oh,
Taylor
yeah.
is so big into punishment and reward. Like you saw this with
Oh,
Reputation, right? Like
yeah.
everybody besmirched her reputation. So she went, fine, I'm not doing any interviews. All you're gonna get is the album. You're not gonna see this from me because, like, I don't like how my fans have been treating me. And with This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things, it's kind of like reprimanding a child. And same with My Boy Breaks His Favorite Toys. It's just kind of very mommy.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think she's like into BDSM or something because she is very much like, yes, punishment and reward. And there's always like a power struggle. And then in the I can fix him, no, really I can. Like she talks about how one, she can fix him, but it's like she calls him like good boy and stuff. And I
Yeah, like
was
I'll
like,
make him my little good
what?
boy. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this girl is definitely mommy, but in like a dominatrix way. And she dressed like a dominatrix in the Look What You Made Me Do video. So I'm
Ugh,
pretty sure that this
yes.
claim is substantiated.
Done. Sealed. Fact. But yeah, no, it's just interesting. She's very into punishment and reward, reprimanding someone. I don't know. It's just fascinating. And then also the bridge. Once I fix me, he's gonna miss me.
Oh,
Like we've all been there before, you know?
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad she's being like introspective, but I also just love the tune of this song where like it almost sounds like a chant or something. My
My
boy. Yeah,
boy
I like
only
it a
breaks
lot.
his favorite toys. And it almost sounds like that's how you would break a toy too. Like only like smashes,
Yeah,
smashes, smashes
that's a good
toys.
point.
Okay, Down Bad. I think this one is kind of a vibe. I like,
Yeah.
obviously, I like the alien imagery at the beginning. And I just want to shout out Taylor Swift is into aliens because remember she did that song with B.O.B., Both of
Oh,
Us.
yeah.
And B.O.B. is out as a flat earther. He's actually put out all of these flat earth diss tracks. One is called Flatline. Like he is like huge in the flat earth community.
Oh, good for him.
So obviously, so is Taylor Swift by association. And this is just fun. Like, down bad crying at the gym, teenage petulance. Fuck it if I can't have him. I'm just gonna die. It makes no difference. Talk about another BD thing. A lot of people who are borderline say that Taylor has a lot of like borderline personality disorder kind of coding in a lot of the songs. But like, I think Taylor Swift has such a vast discography that you could say she's queer. I've seen cases for her being autistic or like some sort of
Me
neurodivergent.
too.
Like, there's so many different, and it all makes sense when I see it put together. But I also wonder if she just hypes up the drama for the songs. Who knows? But I just love how this song, because like we've all been there before where it's like, I might as well just die. Like I'm crying at the gym. Like everything sucks. Like the whole world has ended. And it's like all for some like 5'7"
Some
man who just like
random,
didn't text you back. Like,
I hate that, but I do love this song. It is definitely a vibe. I want to listen to it like high on the beach, like with a hot dog in my hand, like just like eat, bah, bah, bah. Down back crying. I actually want to listen to it at the gym now.
Yeah, crying at the gym. Well, I also have a question for you. She says, I'll build you a fort on some planet where they can all understand it. And since I think this song is about Maddie Healy, what planet would understand masturbating to Ghetto Gaggers? Is it Jupiter? Is it Pluto? Like, that's the one thing where, like, she keeps being like, he's bad, he's bad. Masturbating to Ghetto Gaggers, like, is that the elephant in the room we're not talking about? It's not just like some guy who's like a bad influence. Like, I just. And, you know, I'm sorry to anyone who's a fan of 1975. Everyone on TikTok keeps being like, you don't understand Maddie Healy. I just think that A, people who are so obsessed with like taking down like the red pill people, you are into that because you're consuming a lot of the content because you're super online and like you keep getting into it. And also, I just think he's deeply disrespectful. And like, I know that maybe it's performance art and maybe I don't get what he's doing on stage. So, like, but also him, like, always trying to like make some sort of like trans or racist joke before he gets cut off, and then like the song plays, and like that's his bit, is that like he might be offensive, or him like spitting on stage while he's playing guitar. I'm just like, etiquette, manners, like these people paid money to see you, and I just feel like you're flirting with the idea of being an awful person. Like, why are you so obsessed with the idea of playing somebody who's awful? Like, I don't know. To me, that's like when Cara Delevingne wore that outfit at the Met Gala that was like peg the patriarchy. And it's like, well, that's not actually pegging the patriarchy because A, you think that something going into someone's butt is like taking someone down. So like you really think that taking down the
It's
patriarchy,
creepy.
like to put something in the butt, is to be like demoralized. Like, so that's kind of, I don't know. I'm not really putting my thoughts into words well here, or my words into thoughts, whatever. But I just get rancid vibes from Maddie Healy, and I'm so sorry to anyone who likes him. I just don't like him.
No, I mean, that's totally fair. I think that the point is that even if they want to, I don't know, say that it's a performance art, he's not actually like this. He's not thoughtful about his performance art, and he's not thoughtful about like the impact that it has on people, especially like people who don't know him, which is a lot of people.
Yeah, like if you're performance art, if you're really trying to take down a whole movement and do something good for it, then you shouldn't be doing things that, oh no, you need to have been a fan of them for 10 years to get it and blah, blah, blah. Well, if to most people it looks obscene, then you're just coming across as obscene to a lot of people. I don't know.
It's like when like comedians can only be funny if they're being like racist or homophobic, and like we don't know who those comedians are, so like we're just kind of taking whatever they're saying at face value. So if I'm just like a random person watching a Matty Healy show and he's just saying something racist, you're like, oh, that's what it was.
Like, oh, I didn't realize it was tongue in cheek. Ooh, that's my bad. Like, I don't know. Some, and I keep asking people to like explain it to me. Like, what am I missing? And they're like, you just don't get it. So whatever, I don't get it. Taylor Swift does. He needs to go to some planet where masturbating to Ghetto Gaggers is okay, and that's what Taylor Swift wants for him, I guess.
I mean, you just have to be like cool with not caring about that stuff, I think is what it is. They're like, you don't get it because you GAF about people's feelings. So you lose
Okay, the next song,
that.
So Long London. Obviously, you know, this is our Joe song, and
Love this
it's
song.
very similar themes to You're Losing Me, which was like such a good breakup song. I do think it's interesting how she keeps saying in the song, how much sad do you think I had in me? And I'm just kind of like, honestly, after Folkmore, I thought you had a lot. Like, he's sadder than you. Like, I
You
listened
made
to
it
those
seem.
albums, Peace, Exile, like, could have followed my fears all the way down. I'm like, I thought you had a lot of sad in you, but maybe she was just kind of trying to match his depression. What do you think?
I would like to know how depressed he is, I guess. And I mean, maybe that's why we don't know a lot about him, because he's like, I guess, in bed. I don't know. But I do think that whatever sadness that she was hiding from him, it sucks that she had to hide that, especially if he was also quote unquote sad or like depressed or whatever. Like, just share your depression with your partner.
Well, that's like a really, and I wish she wrote more songs about what it's like to date someone with depression, like the ins and outs of it, because I feel like, you know, nowadays, like, I don't know anyone who hasn't struggled with depression, anxiety, some sort of that. And it is really hard in a relationship because, first of all, you could do an entire album about that. It could be like how you feel like you can't share your depression. But also sometimes when people, a lot of the times when they're depressed, sometimes they get really bitchy because their mind space is just so negative that they'll kind of snap at you and be mean, but you feel like you can't stand up for yourself because you have to be the punching bag because they're sad. You could also talk about like losing your libido, not having sex, like turning into room. Like, there's so many different angles to being the partner to someone who's depressed.
Oh my gosh, she's going to rip you off.
Yeah, she's going to write the song. Like, But I just think, you know, a lot of people could relate to that, especially nowadays, unfortunately.
100%.
So we'll see. Also, she has the line in So Long, London. You swore that you loved me, but where were the clues? I died on the altar waiting for the proof. What do you think of Dumois and the engagement ceremony rumors? Do you think that those had any legs?
Oh my gosh, I think that probably not. Like, I don't think that Dumois knows anything, but I do think that anybody who's been dating for like 6 years in like American society, like, you would kind of probably start talking about marriage if you started the relationship without like denying marriage.
Well, and also, so, like, that Lover album, how embarrassing. Like, you know what I would have loved? I would have loved an honest song of her being like, I told everyone we were going to get married and then we didn't. And now there's egg on my face and I'm embarrassed. Because, like, that's also something everyone's been through, being like, oh my God, like, he's the one. And then he's not. And then you're like, not only am I sad, but I'm also embarrassed.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think that she leans into it enough. Like, that would be so relatable. Like, in my personal life, I would have really loved to hear about like her experience dating someone depressed. Like, I've dated someone who was depressed. I think everyone I know has dated someone who's depressed, and like, that's really shitty. But I don't know, I guess she kept it very surface level with the Joe stuff. I think it was very, very like traumatizing, maybe the situationship with Marty.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a much bigger deal to her. Do you think maybe after 6 years, there's like a level of respect there? And she was like, look, what he's going through is deeply personal to him, so I don't feel right talking about it.
Yeah. But she can still talk about her own feelings with, that experience. I don't think she has to tell us that, like, you know, he didn't shower or something. Like,
crazy. Like, his breath stinks because he's not brushing his teeth or like stuff like that, which once again is like a very real thing that happens, you know?
Yeah. So okay, well, I would have liked that more.
Me too. Maybe she'll drop a third album. Yeah. Just be all about that.
It's an anthology.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vegamore. You've definitely heard of them before. They have incredible products for your hair care routine. Really all aspects of it. Their number one product, they sell their Hair Grow Serum, GRO. Every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. And it's a really great serum because, unlike other serums where I feel like sometimes you have to get your hair wet, then you have to put it in while it's damp, then you have to leave the shower for 10 minutes, then you come back in and rinse it off. That's not the case with this Grow serum that they have. It comes in a beautiful little dropper. It feels so good on the scalp. You put it in when your hair is either damp or dry, and you don't have to rinse it out, which is incredible. I also love their detox like scalp serum that they have too. It's so good because my scalp gets like, you know, a little bit of buildup, and it's so nice. Every single product that they have, it comes in like these tiny glass delicate droppers so you can reach exactly your scalp without getting your hair wet or, you know, messy or anything like that. They also have a brow and lash serum that I love as well because I'm always trying to make my brows a little bit thicker. I got some thin ones. So you can elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/fluently and use code fluently to check out. That's VEGAMOUR.com/fluently with code fluently to save 20% on your first order. VEGAMOUR.com/fluently, code fluently. So the next song, But Daddy, I Love Him. Oh, obviously, Maddie Healy. And I'm such a pervert because I listen to this song and she goes, I'm running with my dress unbuttoned. And I honestly am like the creepiest person because I'm like, unbuttoned where? Like around the shoulders, like from the leg up. Where
it's the middle buttons.
The middle buttons.
I can. Out. It's like a cleavage thing. Yeah, because I feel like that's what would make it like so crazy in the wind, and like it's like you're rushed out of your house. Like no, wait, and then you're like, you know, your hooters are flying everywhere. Like that's what makes it crazy. Like that's how I picture it in my head. I'm also I'm the creep that she mentions in the song where she's like, my fans are creepy or whatever.
Okay, I love the bridge of this where she's like, also when she goes, I'd rather burn my whole life down than listen to one more second of all this bitching and moaning. And I find like the Taylor Swift haters online are like, this is a 34-year-old woman. And I'm like, can we just chill? Like, I'll probably be 80 years old and I'll still be thinking like all this bitching and moaning. Like, yeah. I just feel like, you know, these are, anyway. So obviously she also hates her fans, you know, the Vipers dressed in empaths clothing or empire's clothing, emperor's clothing. It could be either one. And then God Save the Most Judgmental Creeps who say they want what's best for me, sanctimoniously performing soliloquies. That must be hard to sing live. That's a little mouthful. I'll never see. Do you think that she read her fans hashtag speak up now when they wrote the open letter telling her not to date Maddie Healy?
I do. I think that the like soliloquies are like TikTok videos about like, you shouldn't date him because he's racist. And then she went mad as hell into the studio. Like, y'all are so fucking annoying. Let me date my racist man in peace. Like, girl, get a grip. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that part, but I think the song is funny.
I just love the way she goes, all this bitching and moaning. Like, it's just, you can tell how fed up she is. And also, we have the interesting line in here where she goes, tendrils tucked into a woven braid. Remember when she had that tiny little braid she was wearing when she was dating Maddie?
Love that thing.
And like, everybody in the world was like, what is this braid? Like, why is she wearing it? And then the minute I heard that lyric in the song, I was like, maybe the braid, she would wear it every time she went out with Maddie or something. Cause like, she's not, no, is she wearing it with Travis? I don't know. What's up with that one little braid she's doing?
I think she has worn it with Travis cause she wore it in like an outfit that was like for the football game.
Maybe
I know
it's like
that.
A signal, you know, like swingers with a pineapple.
Damn, it's definitely meaningful because it comes out like randomly, but she did wear it a lot with Maddie Healy. And I don't know if this is true, but I said in a TikTok video something about his wee-wee and everybody was like, he has a big wee-wee. So it could be.
No, Maddie Healy?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, what do you think his bedroom game is like? Because for like Taylor and Halsey and all of these women to be obsessed with him, like,
it's got
to
be great.
He must have something that like we can't see. And it either has to be like stinky, stinky pheromones in a good way. I just don't imagine. I imagine him to be a very selfish lover.
I think it's probably not the motion of the ocean, but like the size of the boat kind of thing. Because some things you just like can't replicate with like smaller guys. Like it's just... That's my personal opinion, but I have been in a situationship with a guy who had a big one and the motion of the ocean was like, whatever, but I was digmatized. Yeah. And when I was listening to this album, I was like, I've never had a fucking unique experience like in my life. I'm so annoyed.
The next song we have is Fresh Out the Slammer. I don't have much
Cool.
to say about this song, but you said that you've had it on repeat, right?
I love this song so much. I'm like a snail grinding on anything, any surface in my house. Like everything's just juicy around here. Like I love this song so much.
Well, I'm assuming it's about like her going to Maddie after Joe. And I saw this
Yeah.
tweet before I hopped on that like I was cracking up. Somebody was like, "Do you think Gypsy Rose Blanchard has been like having this song on
Oh my
repeat?
God.
Like fresh out the slammer, I'm coming to you."
That's hilarious. I hope so. But I just love that she really has been so into this guy forever. Like she was
Yeah.
waiting to like end it with the other guy to go with Marty. That's insane to me. And I saw an interview with her. I don't remember if it was she was like explaining style, and she was like, there's always that one person who you like want to interrupt your wedding.
Oh my
Yeah.
God, Marty.
Maybe, apparently. I was like, damn, I didn't know he had such a strong hold on her. So,
Oh my God. No, somebody else was
and
saying, yeah.
there, so in the style music video, there's like that profile of her, and in the new song Fortnite, the like in the music video where they're both laying on like all of those poems, it's the same like profile of her. And so I was like, this is confirmation that style is about Marty. And I said that as a joke, but now that I'm saying it, I'm like, wait, maybe it's
So
true.
Cam, from what I will say, said that, you know, now maybe the song Dancing with Our Hands Tied could be about Maddie. And I was even thinking like there's some sort of like cowboy song on here that we're gonna get to. So then I was thinking Cowboy Like Me or Cowboy Like You, whatever, maybe that's about Maddie Healy because that
Yeah.
he's more of a cowboy than Joe Alwyn would be. So now I just feel like I have to re-listen to all of these songs and be like, holy fuck, is it about Maddie?
Yeah, we need to re-listen to everything from the perspective of like her just wishing it was with him. Now the
Yeah.
one is probably about him.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, it
Oh
probably is. Well, apparently Cardigan is because she did the whole like, you know who you are. Like, I can't
yeah.
even get out saying it. It makes me cringe so much. But like when they talk to each other on stage, like
Dude, she's so
it'll.
embarrassing. I don't know why she would release all this information to us.
You could also tell that like when Maddie said it that I, you know, the song is about you know who you are, I love you. Which, by
Yeah.
the way, is kind of a mouthful to say. You could tell she was like a little bit embarrassed to like repeat it back. She was kind of like ducking her head and like, you know, whereas Maddie was like eyeballing the camera when he said it to her.
Well, she was probably scared that like he was gonna say yay or nay to her. Like he probably kept her on a string like a long time. So that's
Yeah.
probably why she was nervous to do it.
Yeah.
If this make-believe story is real.
No, I mean, I love talking
Me
make-believe. Okay, the next
too.
song is Florida, bomb, 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 is one hell of a drug. And I'm so surprised
Love.
that she let Florence sing on this song, but I'm so happy she did because she's got that enchanting voice. Like, she sounds so
Yeah.
good on this, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. I love the like bum bum bum. But I find myself like not really like I don't know, if I were to like pick a song on the album to like start with, I never would choose this one.
Same,
It's
same.
like
But like halfway through, once it gets going, I'm happy that I'm listening to it, but I
yes.
don't find myself picking it. And once again, we have another reference of her killing people, you know, the
Yeah.
bodies that sink into the swamp. She's just like on her in
Yeah.
her killing era. So
Definitely psychopath, psycho ward or
some
whatever.
sort of
This
a
is weird.
psychopath in the psycho ward. And
Yeah.
I also am confused about her relationship to Florida. Like, she has an entire song about it, going there to escape. She also mentions Florida in the song Fortnite. So I'm like, has she been spending a lot of secret time in Florida that we didn't know about?
She must. I mean, I think her dad like has a house here or
Oh my God,
something.
wait, he actually does. My
Yeah.
brother went on a boat with Taylor Swift's dad.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
Was
they
have
talked
you?
Republican tings on the boat, as you know,
Oh
as
my
you
God, I
do.
hate
So,
that.
yep.
I would love to meet Scott Swift because I know he's crazy. Like, I know Taylor's crazy because of him. And apparently, I don't know, her mom also was saying she wants to kill the Amy or whatever, Kim, whoever that was. So maybe they're both kind of crazy. I
I
love
wonder
crazy
what
people though.
Austin thinks, her little brother. And Austin's like, and I'm gonna stab him too.
Yeah.
Okay, Guilty as Sin. This one grew on me.
Me
I think it's
too.
obviously a Maddie Healy. What if he's written mine? on my upper thigh. Also, they talk about messy top lip kiss. And I don't have a top lip, so I'm so curious what a top lip kiss is like. So I listened to the song to try and understand. And then this is also where we get Taylor masturbating. My bed sheets are ablaze. I've screamed his name, building up like waves crashing over my grave without ever touching his skin. How can I be guilty as sin? What do you think she masturbated to him in his mind, or do you think it was like the video of him eating raw meat on stage and she just kept like replaying
I
that?
mean, I feel like rich people are into like crazy stuff, so maybe. But I don't know. To be honest, I genuinely have no idea what she finds sexually attractive about him, but it's enough to like masturbate to, so I hope
It
it.
must be, it's so easy to masturbate to someone before you get to know them. So like when
That's
you've
true.
only like, you know, before when you've only seen them like a little bit, and then you're kind of masturbating to like who you want them to be. Like, yeah, I remember I would like match, like back when I was dating, I would match with a guy on Hinge. And then obviously like you daydream about what he's like. And I would always, for some reason, I've read too much erotica, I would be like, and he's actually taking me out to coffee because he's secretly a billionaire. And this is a test to see if I actually like him. Like the way that my brain would fantasize about like him being like all categories being checked off. And then you meet the person and it's just like, bye, bye, bye. Like you're playing guess who and you're flipping the things down. Like the fantasies go away once you get to know someone.
That's true. But I feel like also, I don't know if this is TMI, but like when I masturbate, if I'm just like not feeling it, I will immediately in my head think about like the best sex I've ever had. And but it's usually with, it's like a, with, it's always this one guy and I don't know him like that. So
Is it
maybe.
the guy with the big hog?
No, but it, before I had sex with the guy that I do think about, it was him. But this guy I met at the Eras Tour. Well, I was in Vegas for the Eras Tour and I met him there. So
Oh my God, wait. I love that.
I know, yeah. And we like follow each other on TikTok now, and he like always sends me like Taylor Swift TikToks. And I keep on being like, hee, what if we met up? But
Wait, I love
he lives
that.
far away from me, so.
Crazier things have happened. Cam and her girlfriend, she does the What I Will Say podcast. They're now dating and they
Oh,
met
really?
through Taylor Swift long distance. So maybe, you know, things happen. Okay, the next song is my favorite on the album, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? And
It's
I
fun.
like it because it's just kind of giving like Speak Now. I like her little scream song in it. I don't really know what it's about though. Like, obviously, she's pissed off at the public and she's bitter and mad and resentful about something, but I really couldn't tell you what it is. I don't really get the lyrics, I'll be honest.
Yeah, to me, I feel like she's probably resentful about like being perceived as someone who's going to be like evil or like her suing Olivia Rodrigo, like her going like ham unprovoked. But I also feel like she's probably referencing like her relationship with either Joe or Marty, where like they probably don't think that she's going to do anything bad about them or say anything bad about them. Where she's like, well, you probably should be because I'm
Oh my
still
God,
unhinged.
she's always been that way, you know? I've always said, if you don't want me to write a bad song about you, then you shouldn't do bad things, shouldn't do bad things, shouldn't do bad things. And then it goes into Fearless, or no, Forever and Always. I also think it's funny the line, like you said, with Olivia, where she goes, that I'll sue you if you step on my lawn. I'm fearsome and I'm wretched and I'm wrong. And it's just like, of course, she's only telling it from her side of the story, not a lot of nuance, but I just wanted to pop my head in and be like, and how much money do you have in the bank? Because Olivia Rodrigo wrote the song Deja Vu. Could you just remind us again?
Oh
Because
my gosh.
also, and you did in fact sue that guy who was tracking your plane. Like, what are you doing? Like, ooh, people think that I'll sue you. Bitch, you have. Like, all of those people on Etsy were like, you took down their Etsy shops because, like, yeah, people think that because you've done it. This wasn't some sort of idea that we like collectively dreamed up and thought into existence. Like, people received notices from you and your team, and that's why people think Taylor Swift is sue happy. Like,
Yeah, I don't know. I think that she doesn't have a strong hold of like who she is, or like what she does or something. Like
yeah.
I think that we all have like if our all of our perceptions match, we're not wrong about you. Like, this is like factual information. Like, we know that you sued XYZ.
Like,
So,
just like that kid who's tracking the plane, he's probably listening to this song. Like, excuse me? Like, I have the letter
yeah.
here. It fucked up my entire year, you know? Like,
Yeah,
whatever.
she's so random.
She's just so random and quirky. And I do find the line interesting in here where she goes, I am what I am because you trained me. And I'm sure she didn't mean this in this sense, but when I heard it, I thought about that applying to her fans. Like, her fans are
Yeah.
crazy and psychotic because she trained them to be crazy and psychotic. She uses the punishment and reward system with her fans, right? If you
Yeah.
are the best ever, you get invited backstage. If you make Tumblr accounts dedicated to me, you get to come to the listening parties. Protect me from Joe. Tell everybody that they're being evasive because it's our private thing. But now I'm with Travis Kelce, so repost everything because now I'm happy. I'm happy. So she does
Yeah.
kind of train her fans, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, well, they're all fucking psychopaths.
They're insane. They are so insane.
Yeah.
I can fix him. No, really, I can. This one I just thought, you know, it sounds like a cowboy tune, so maybe Cowboy Like Me is about him. But
Oh
yeah, I don't
yeah,
know.
maybe.
What are
I
your
do
thoughts on
really
this?
like this one too. Because again, it's giving like that mommy like BDSM vibe. I'm like, damn, girl. It's very much like yeah, training him to be good. Where like the normie people read it as like, yes, I can fix my situationship. I'm gonna date. I feel like she's gonna do so much damage to society with this album because she's getting in people's heads of like it's okay to be in a situationship. And I feel like we need to take the lesson of no, it's actually really bad. Like you'll want to like, you know, off yourself and we need to chill with that. But I don't know. I can fix them. No, really, I can. Like when I was grinding to this, I was like, damn, I want to be in a situationship. Like I
Yes.
want to do this.
No, it's almost like inspirational. Like, you just want your life
Yeah.
to match the music. So, LOML, love of my life, but also loss of my life. I'm assuming that this is about Maddie and how he's kind of been low key trying to woo her for a bunch of years. Like, you said that I'm the love of your life a million times. I just feel like over the years, he's been going up to Taylor and being like, you are the one. And like, I'm gonna get you one day. And like, what we have is special. I don't know, but also it could be about Joe because obviously, like, love of my life would be someone that you've been with for 6 years. What do you think?
Yeah, when I first heard it, I thought it was about Joe. Like I just assumed it and I like listened to it from Joe perspective. I actually never thought about it from Marty perspective. So that's good to know that it does come off that way. But if it does, like if it's about him, I would feel really bad. Like he's such a piece of shit for doing that then, for like stringing her along and like making that idea available for like what, a decade and then trying it out and ghosting her. Like, what a dick.
Okay, the next song, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. It's a bop.
Ugh.
Not much to say about it. Like, I feel like the
Yeah.
idea is pretty obvious. It's like her on tour. Either Maddie or Joe broke her heart and she's trying to get through it. Which one do you
Yeah.
think?
Honestly, I think it's definitely both of them, I guess. It's honestly more about like her trying to do her job, but I hate that so much because it's like regular people go to work after waking up all the time. Like, you're not fucking special because you can do your job. Like,
No,
I
that's
don't
so true.
get
Also, if anything,
it.
like I remember when I was going through a breakup, I was so happy to go into work. And
Yes.
sometimes I would take crying breaks in the bathroom, but I was like, finally, like an excuse to be around people and like focus on an Excel sheet for a little bit. And it is so
Yeah.
funny that she's like, I can do it with a broken heart. And it's like, you can do it. We have to do it with a broken heart,
Yeah,
or we can't
such
pay
a
rent.
billionaire perspective, I guess, is
That is a
quite
funny.
annoying undertone for me, but I do really like the
I
beat.
think, yeah, the beat is good. It's a peppy. So many girls are going to be using it for TikTok videos, me
Oh
included. So
yeah.
then we
Me
have
too.
The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
10 out of 10.
That's when we basically find out that he ended up ghosting her and she doesn't say, Daddy, I love him anymore. I just think I do like the detail of you tried to buy some pills from a friend of friends of mine. I feel like that's cringe getting denied your pills.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about this song?
I mean, I love that she's going so ham on Maddie Healy. But I listen to the song and like it makes me cry. Like I think I just project onto my own life. Like there's always those like piece of shit guys in your life, and you're like, this is the perfect song for that.
Yeah.
So thank you, Taylor.
Also, is it this song where she was like, "You're not any semblance of a man," or something like that?
Oh
And I
yeah.
feel like that would get at him because he's so consumed with like that red pill stuff and they're all about masculinity. And he's probably like, "Well, I'm
Yeah.
the opposite side of that." And then Taylor's like, which I'm so sorry, like on my soapbox, but I feel like Maddie Healy is the type of guy to say that he's a feminist and then do stupid
Yeah.
asshole shit like this. And for her to be like, you are n not even close to the idea of a man. I just feel like there's so many guys like that out there nowadays.
Yeah, the like you don't measure up in any real measure of a man. That's why I think he has a big wee wee, because he's like, that's not a real measure.
Yeah, girth isn't akin to morality, unfortunately. Okay, then we have The Alchemy, which, like, I can't with all of the football references. Touchdown, cut him from the team. These blokes warm the bleachers or benches. We've been on a winning streak. Like, I have nothing to say about the song. I'm just not nuts about it.
I had the perspective that it was about Travis, but then I was listening to it from the perspective of like, she says something about like she wants to go back to somebody. And I'm like, I think that this is about her saying she wants to go back to Maddie even after everything. And she's okay with like ditching this guy, Travi, for Maddie. Yeah, go back and listen to it with that perspective. And it makes so much sense.
I will, because you know, when she says, "Who are we to fight the alchemy?" It's like Travis isn't fighting anything. He's like there with
Yeah.
open arms. So that part kind of didn't make sense to me. Clara Bow, I kind of skipped this one, but you know, I think that there might be like an Olivia Rodrigo reference at the end. You know, you look
Yeah,
like
I
Taylor
agree.
Swift, but you've got edge that she never did. And obviously, after Olivia Rodrigo wrote The Grudge, like you knew Taylor was going to say something on the album. That's so obviously about her.
Yeah, I agree that that's about her. I think I really like the song, but I think that I don't know. I don't want to hear about Taylor's perspective about Olivia because she dogs on her and robbed her. Like, damn. Like, leave the poor girl alone. I
The
don't
way that
know.
she took for openers, Sabrina Carpenter, beef with Olivia Rodrigo, Gracie Abrams, friend and previous opener of Olivia Rodrigo, Paramore took money from Olivia Rodrigo. I'm just
Like,
like, at this point, she's gonna make Joshua Bassett her like backup dancer and be like, it's a
yeah.
coinkydink. Like, come on. Like, it's crazy.
It's creepy. I don't know. She's like, it's like a 50-year-old lady that has beef with a 12-year-old. Like, why do you GAF? I don't like it.
Is wild. The Black Dog. You know, now we're starting to get into the second album. I do really like how she always talks about this theme of, you know, she has that lyric, "I just don't understand how you don't miss me," in The Black Dog. And I feel like that's so real to everyone who goes through a breakup. Like, I remember in Last Kiss, she's like, "I don't know how to be something that you miss." Like,
Yeah.
she's just consumed with this idea of like, I'm gone and like, you don't even miss me. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that's real, especially for someone who's always like, if you're someone in a relationship where you always carry more of the conversation and you have the fun ideas and
Yeah.
you bring the pep, then that idea of breaking up, it's like, and you don't even miss me? Like,
Yeah,
it's
it's like they don't
sad.
care. It is really
Yeah.
sad. This song is like depressing as hell. It made me
It
want to get
is.
the vinyl variant for the Black
The
Dog. Her marketing scheme
Black Dog.
worked.
And she also talks a little bit about youth in this. She, you know, we see the themes come up in this album, but she talks about like this other person at the Black Dog, like she'd be too young for you. She wouldn't get the references. So we kind of see her start to struggle with that. Okay, I'm gonna get you back, allegedly about Maddie Healy, because the phrasing of it is similar to 1975 songs, and also kind of a ripoff of Olivia Rodrigo,
Yeah, I feel that
with
way
Get Him
too.
Back.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy. But I do think that it's a better song than Olivia Rodrigo's.
Really? Okay, I like Olivia's
Yeah.
more. The parallels are so crazy. Like, not only the double entendre of Get Him Back, but also Olivia literally says, "I'm gonna key your car," and she says, "I'm gonna smash your bike." Like, literally down to the
Oh.
verb and the noun, it is like so direct. In my
Yeah.
thinking, look, I'm not gonna, like, maybe she didn't copy it. Like, people have the same idea all the time. I'm just thinking in my head, Taylor is a smart girl. She knows that people know that there's beef between them. You already have 31 fucking songs on the album, and it's not like this is the clear standout. So like, why not just take it off if you know it's going to cause some drama? So I'm like confused why she left it on. Like, there's already 29 songs about Maddie Healy. You don't need an extra 30th one that sounds like a rip-off of Olivia Rodrigo.
I think that she leans into that, though. Like, I think that she knows people will be talking about it. I think that she's more of a troll than we think she
we
is.
Think.
Yeah, I think that she's definitely a troll. And I mean, in that the second song, the Torture Poets Department, she says, "Who's gonna troll you like I do?" And I'm like, that's corny as hell, but I mean, it's real.
Yeah,
trolling is fun.
I imagine her doing it. Yeah, both of us with our TikTok accounts were like, trolling is fun. Trust me. The Albatross, this kind of gave me a little bit of like Game of Thrones vibes. I kind of liked it. Oh, like, yeah. Only liquor anoints you. And maybe that's also because I grew up going to church. But like the combo of it just fit. I don't really know if there's like a muse or anything, but I think it's kind of like vibey. What do you think?
I like the vibes. I haven't really sat to understand the lyrics, but I do like the liquor and meets you part.
Yeah.
Because I grew up Catholic. So I'm like, okay.
Liquor and meets you. I also think of that like thing with all of the incense that they like wave over the crowd sometimes. I'm like, what about that?
That's okay. The only part I really like about that.
Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. Somebody's
gagged.
Bisexual, gagged, ghetto gagged, and bisexual. Like, it's I think it's Maddie Healy, but it could also be Joe Alwyn. What do you think?
I mean, they both give bisexual vibes.
They do.
I've been fully thinking that Joe and Paul Mezcal had like a fling or something because they were like spending a lot of time together and they both are like fruity. But so my first instinct was like, okay, somebody's gay, and the first gay person that I thought was Joe. So I don't know. And there's a line about like running your fingers through your hair or something for either Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that would be disgusting to do for Maddie Healy, because your hand would like come out like, you know, dirty fingernails and shit. So
yes.
I don't believe that it's about Maddie Healy.
I wish so badly that we had Way this week as our sponsor, because I would totally do an ad being like, that scalp scrub, Maddie Healy, like, get on it. Like, I just picture his hair to be like oily but also flaky, and that's not a diss. Ew. Because, you know, sometimes that's my hair too, like, we've all been there before, but there is the line of this of, you needed me but you needed drugs more, but sometimes she works two people into a song. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, but also there was that song, and I forgot what it's called, but on Lover, she's like, the moon is high, like your friends were the night that we first met,
paper rings.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not so crazy that he might be a weed guy.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I always forget that weed is a drug. Oops.
Meth.
Okay. How did it end? This is, you know, this is kind of another similar theme on her album of talking about marriage, people being judgy when you aren't married. And I like that she includes that because, you know, like, I'm 30, I'm not married, and I'm not going to lie, like, I shouldn't care this much about celebrities, but it does give me a sense of comfort to know that, like, Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez, Lana Del Rey, these are all women who, like, aren't married right now. And I just like having, especially when I was single, I kept a little list of, like, all of my friends and people I admire, celebrities, famous people, all of them who aren't married, just to remind myself that, like, marriage is not the end-all be-all. Like, there's so much you can do in life without marriage. But in this track, she kind of talks about people whispering about, like, why did it end and go wrong? So I wonder if that was a big thing about her and Joe breaking up. She was really worried that people were going to say, like, she'll never get married or something.
Yeah, I like that this hints up that, like, embarrassing part of breaking up. It's not really the embarrassing part of dating a depressed person, but it is kind of shameful when you've been, like, dating someone for a long time and it kind of flopped. Like, when I was dating my ex, after 3 years, we, like, called it off, and I was like, now I have to tell people, and it's so awkward. And
You guys broke up, I think, during Midnights?
Right after Midnight's came out. Yeah, so it was
Okay.
perfect timing in that
Yeah, no, because I was kind of
regard.
going through a breakup, I think a little bit before then. And also being somebody online going through a breakup, like it's always so hard because like not everyone watches every video. So then like something will happen and people will be
Yes.
like, wait, you broke up? Like what happened? And you're like, I don't want to make like another vi like just try and find it somewhere, you know? Like
Yeah. It's
it's
embarrassing
uncomfortable.
and
It's
awkward,
yes.
and like I don't want to keep on talking about it. But at the same time, I also love like talking about other people's drama and stuff. So when
Yes.
I would think about it that way, of like, oh, this is just a drama I'm sharing to my followers,
Yeah.
it would make it better. Plus,
Yeah.
I had followers that like sent me, or mutuals that sent me like gifts and stuff. Like, I hope you're feeling well. It was
Oh.
like the sweetest experience. So I'm
Yeah.
glad that like I had people to share it with.
No, it's true. It's very embarrassing to be vulnerable and open, especially online to a bunch of
Yeah.
strangers. But then every once in a while, like you just get the nicest rewards from it. And it's like, oh no, like people are good. Like good stuff does come out of that. Not
How.
always, but
Yeah, Swifties are not good. To this day,
yeah.
people are like, anytime I get in a fight with a Swiftie, they're like, oh, your ex is like cheating on you right now or something. Like they'll bring him up, and I'm like, damn,
Yeah,
why are
they
you going
always
so
but they hold on to things. It's like absolutely ridiculous. Like I think that some Swifties have some sort of calendar reminder, and like I
Yeah.
will like post something about like you know how I went antique shopping, and a random Swiftie will be like, "Aren't you the thin-lipped old bitch who like said that you didn't like how she acted at the VMAs?" And I'm like, "Yeah, like 112 videos ago. Like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, I think that they have calendar reminders or something."
They definitely do. I hate them.
Weird shit. Okay, so high school. This is her "I'm in love with Travie" game, and once again, we have Taylor in her exhibitionist era because she her his friends are around and she's trying to stifle her size and brand new full throttle "Touch Me While Your Bros Play Grand Theft Auto."
I am gagged and disgusted. I was like, hello? This is another one of those things where we weren't supposed to know. Like, what the
Like, I just remember like when Wildest Dreams came out and it was like my hands are in his hair, my clothes are in my room, and we were like, ooh, and now it's like finger bang me while Call of
hell?
Duty is going on next door. And it's like, what?
It's like I did really want her to be like more explicit, like, you know, because I like talking about sex and stuff, but this is not what I meant because of, I think, the video games. I'm like, it makes you feel like a weird straight fantasy or something. I'm like, this
Well,
was
it's
written
also
for a guy.
so like the video it was written for a guy, and the video games, like even in Reputation, where she's like, I just want to be drinking on a beach with your hands all over me. And I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
she's a billionaire, like private beach, like, oh, like Joe Alwyn's going down on you because your altar is the hips, like little
Yeah,
hints.
it's
But now I'm like,
sensual.
you're in Kansas City and they're, you know, eating Ruffles playing video games, and Travis with like his dirty fingernails is like,
Yeah, not
you
the
know,
Cheeto
spreading your
dust.
labia, like the Cheeto dust fingers.
Yeah, so this was not what I wanted.
Yeah, it's a cute like 90s song, like I bop to it, but I just kind of dissociate and I go into my secret garden because I hate it here when the song plays. So yeah.
To me, it sounds also just like as a final thought that she wrote it like for Travis's ego. Like
Yeah.
it feels like a fake orgasm or something. Like
It
it,
does.
yeah, and that's why I don't like it. It's
Like
everything else on the album is so raw and real, and this is so like a fake out.
it's not the Taylor that we know. Like we've known her for 15 years and it just seems a little, I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So I hate it here. This is the dissociation song. So I dig that
I love
vibe of
it.
it. She's just like, you know, I go to my mind. But the beginning, quick, tell me something awful. Like you are a poet trapped inside the body of a finance guy. I just feel like Taylor's trying to like appease the general public with this line. Like, when has she ever been around a finance other than her father?
Yeah.
When has she ever been around a finance guy?
To me, I read it as she's not actually talking about a finance guy, but it's like a not very deep, shallow, I guess, guy. That's not someone like Maddie Healy. So I'm thinking that this is in reference to Travis. And she is kind of unhappy with the vibe with him because he's not giving the like negative energy that Maddie Healy brings and that she likes. So that's why I think she's like, tell me something awful that I really like so that I can be present and enjoy, like, you know, being not dissociated.
I
And so
wonder
she
too if she
wants him to
like
be poet.
switches the metaphor. Like maybe our idea of a finance guy would be her idea of like a radio DJ or like a record label executive, but she knows that like she can't say that in a song because like nobody will relate to it or something. But I do love this too because I also had the book Secret Garden as a child as well. And like there were some sort of drugs in that book. Like the way that I would just stare at the cover and I was like, the secret garden with the little key. Like I was mesmerized by it. And it's so fun to know that she was too.
Yeah, that's sweet. There's always some sort of like thing that you can relate to her, like from your childhood or something, where it
Yeah.
just feels like that sweet connection. That's why I really like Robin, but we'll get there.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited to hear. Oh, thank you, Amy, her Kim Kardashian ode. I was, about an edible deep when I heard this. And the line of her being like, your kid's gonna come home singing a song that only us two is gonna know about you. I was like, oh,
I like
not
that.
Northwest. Like it made me intrigued. And then it also made me wonder, like, that phone call happened 10 years ago. I feel like something else must have happened. Like I understand that Kim and Kanye fucked up her life and, it was the worst year of her life, very traumatic. But more has had to happen than just that phone call.
Yeah, I agree. And I saw someone tweet about this, and someone else responded with like Kim Kardashian at the video set for Famous and her like taking pictures of
Yeah,
stuff. Yeah.
of
And
the mannequin.
so I was like, she must have egged that on a lot. I don't know,
Yeah.
but
Well, it's
either
also crazy
way.
to like all of her friends are doing Skims, like that Brittany Mahomes did it, Lana Del Rey, Sabrina Carpenter, and I'm like, if she hates Kim so much that the mom's like, I wish she was dead, like why are all of her friends doing Skims ads? Like, do you really need to check that bad?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, would you as a billionaire go to your friend who is not as wealthy as you and stop their bag because you have beef with someone? I would be like, girl, fuck yourself. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I guess for
So.
Lana, it's fine, but I almost feel like for Sabrina Carpenter, like you are riding Taylor's coattails so hard this year. Like,
That's
Sabrina
true.
Carpenter is only popular right now, like, no shade, but it's because of the Eras Tour. Like, it sent her into a whole new stratosphere. So
I
I just
agree.
know that they must have talked about the Skims thing, and I'm curious how it went.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it, I don't know. I guess we haven't gotten a lot of like Sabrina and Taylor content recently. So
Well, they were
maybe it
at
went poorly.
Coachella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Who
I
knows,
have
though?
some.
Today's episode of Fluently Forward is brought to you by Pair Eyewear, and you can wear it too. We're talking about different musicians in this episode. Maybe you want to be a little bit like Bono and wear your sunglasses at night and everywhere you go. And you can do that very easily because Pair lets you basically snap on all of these different frames, and they also have sun tops. So as the weather is starting to get warmer, at least here in the States, you can just snap on their sun tops and have your sunglasses with you on the go in a bunch of different varieties, whatever personal style or color that you want. Also, this is just my tip to you. If you have allergies like I do, you should be wearing sunglasses because it protects from all the pollen and everything getting into your eyes. Anyway, that's just I wear my sunglasses not to look cool, but to make sure my allergies are kept at bay, and you can do so fashionably with Pair's sun tops, the ultimate companion for long days on the go. So one pair gives you infinite possibilities. Go to Pair Eyewear and use code Shannon for 15% off your first pair and support the show by mentioning that Fluently Forward sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair Eyewear.com with code Shannon. Okay, I look in people's windows. I listen to this song and I also look in people's windows
Me
and I stalk
too.
them online and I follow them home. And I think that this is about Joe because, okay, and once again, like we all
Agree.
project, but like the last guy I dated, he, I removed him from Instagram and he has a private account and like we don't have any mutual friends. I know nothing about his life. And I feel like Joe Alwyn is so private and like doesn't share stuff and like isn't really in the Hollywood scene. So to me, I take the song as an ode to like, what the fuck is going on with your life? I wish I could just catch a little glimpse of it because I'm afflicted by the not knowing. Like I have no idea.
What are your thoughts? Me too. I feel that same way. And I also project because like with my ex, he's the same way, like very private. And I live really close to his building. So when I walk to work or when I come home from work, I'll like see his building and I'm like, I'm like looking in all the windows. I'm like, where are you, bitch?
Dude, if I had the chance, I would have. When I was feeling like really deranged, like, you know, like all those deranged thoughts you have during your breakup. I remember thinking, because like I could get into his apartment in Battery Park City, not like inside, but like through the elevator, you could go up to the door. Okay. And I thought, okay, these are the only when you're going through a breakup, do you have like insane thoughts like this? There was a perfume, Indigo by Nest, which is no longer my perfume anymore. But like I used to wear that all the time around him. And like a psycho freak, sometimes I would wear it before like sex because, you know, people say that then like it, you know, Pavlov dogs them. Okay. And I had this idea where like, a month after our breakup, I was going to go into the apartment building and take a little bit of the perfume and just put it near the door. So then that way he would have to think of me. Insane behavior. I didn't do it, but like.
That makes total sense to me. Like, I fully understand. I don't know why you hard stopped it. I was going along.
No, I really thought that like that was going to change things. I'm like. It's just like, it's only the type of delusions that you have when your brain's not working after a breakup. But
Yeah. Or like writing 31 songs and releasing the most embarrassing thoughts you've ever had.
The things you do, right? The things that you do. The next song, The Prophecy, I really love this one. And once again, it was because of after my last breakup, I feel like sometimes you go through a breakup and then you start getting all of the tarot content on your For You page of people being like, your ex. And when I went through my breakup, I was getting all of these tarot readers being like, you know, you broke up, but it's for the best because like your career is about to take off in a big way. And like, that is your path, like this path, like it could have been with him, but it is not, it's closed. You're meant to be doing this. I was getting a lot of those videos and when we broke up, that was the same week I quit my job to do the podcast full time. Oh, wow. And like the For You page really gets you. But I remember just like the song, The Prophecy, being like, can I take it back? Like change the prophecy. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't need the podcast. I'll give it up. Like, I just want to be with him. Like, all I need is him. Like, let's just rearrange the stars and go back to the original life path. Like, that is what I want. And I feel like this song is just so like, I'm on my knees, change the prophecy. Like, please, I'd give it all up. So I love this song. I think it's really beautiful.
I like am always going to think about you and your breakup and your podcast when I listen to this song now. Because what I feel like when I was dating my ex, who we were engaged, but I feel like I never really saw a future together. So I feel like I always kind of knew that it wasn't going to work out. So I didn't really connect with this song because I was like, my prophecy has always been one thing. It's like, I don't know, get my degree and work in biotech or something. I don't know. But I never saw an end game.
You want to be the end game. Yeah. God, it is fun. Every single song can like relate to a situation here. The song Cassandra, when I first listened to it, I thought, is this like Kim and Kanye? Because she's singing about how she's in her new house and she was in a room when she got the call and everything changed and it gives her all these memories. But then I also re-listened to it and I thought, could this maybe be an Olivia Rodrigo twist? Because in The Grudge, she's like, I still remember when I got that phone call and like everything changed. So they're both referencing a traumatic phone call. What do you think?
Oh, that would be really cool if it was the same phone call. I've also seen, so I'm fully on Gaylor Twitter. And so I've seen a lot of people say that Cassandra is supposed to be like a Gaylor because they say that like she is wrong and they like hunt her down or whatever. But then Taylor Swift later says that she's right or that she was right. So I don't know, because when I read it, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. I think
same. I don't really get it. It's like a little too metaphorical for me. I don't really gravitate to this song, but I always
Me
love a Gale
neither.
or Theory, so like
Me
done.
too. So I'm like, yeah,
Peter.
it'll make sense with that. So fine.
Okay, Peter. I like the chorus of it, but otherwise I kind of skip. I feel like it's about Maddie. He's kind of a Peter Pan
Yeah.
type character, and you know, said you were gonna grow up and come
Agreed.
find me, Peter Pan. The Bolter is okay, what were you gonna say?
Just that it's so repetitive. I don't like the chorus of Peter. It's a
Yeah.
skip for me.
It could have been one of those Ariana Grande songs where it's like a 45-second song and it's like that's
Yeah,
the track, you know?
that would be nice.
The Bolter is boppy. I like it. You know, it's just like
Me
classic
too.
Taylor Swift. I want to hear your pegging take on this.
She's definitely admitting to pegging somebody. I don't know who, but probably multiple people because she says that they're always like,
The many famous men that she's pegging.
yeah, and it's interesting that there's gay rumors about a lot of these men, but maybe they're not gay. They just like to be pegged. So I definitely believe that. I don't remember what the line actually says. It's like you're leaving
He'll
hurting or
call her
something.
a whore, wish he wouldn't be sore, but as she was leaving.
Oh. Yeah, so obviously you get sore after being pegged. And yeah, and then she says like as I was leaving, it felt like
Felt like
breathing.
breathing.
Like that's what you do when you peg people, like you're like increased breathing speed, like it's just all painting a picture. Like to me, I could fully, unfortunately, I can see
And the
it.
bolter, maybe you're like bolting on the strap-on onto the harness. So like you're
Oh,
bolting.
yeah. So she's literally saying that I'm putting on my strap. Period.
Well, I think maybe, you know, sometimes she likes to write songs about her famous friends. I think this could be
Oh.
about Kourtney Kardashian pegging, because if you remember in the early season of The Kardashians, Scott Disick wanted to have anal with Kourtney, and she said, "Once you let me do it to you first, then we can." So she chased him around the mansion with a strap on. And
I hate that.
and then he'll call her a whore with the slam of a door. I feel like Scott Disick would do it. Then she
Yeah.
dates Travis Barker. Then she pegs Travis Barker. And it's all of the different men that she's pegged. So it could be a Courtney bop.
Yeah, I love that. I love that theory.
Thanks.
Especially I don't know anything about the Kardashians to say that, but I've seen a picture of Kourtney Kardashian and I would let her peg me. So I believe it.
Yeah, she would poosh. She would poosh in there.
Yeah.
Okay,
Push and
let's talk about the
peg.
song Robin. My thoughts on it were it's about a child, and then I said I have nothing to say about this song. I'm sorry to this song.
I like the song a lot because I do think it's about a child, particularly her like young fans who act up. Like those are the like crazy ones, right?
Okay, wait, you keep talking and I'm gonna pull up the lyrics and look at it through that lens.
Yes, it feels like she's saying that she's like hiding something from them so she can keep them enjoying her music in sweetness, so that they can continue just like growing up and not be so evil. Because yeah, she's like, you don't need to listen to all this like really dark stuff that I'm talking about. And instead just like enjoy it in sweetness. I want you to be like calm.
I like that. I knew that there had to be a deep meaning to it, but I just like kept listening and I was like, I just knew something about a child, but I'm gonna listen
Yeah.
to it through that lens now and I'll probably
Yeah.
like it. Okay, and then finally we arrive at the last song, The Manuscript. Some intense lyrics in this one. They're comparing their licenses and then, quote, he said that if the sex was half as good as the conversation was, soon they'd be pushing strollers, but soon it was over. I think it's about Maddie. And once again, like, I normally love the niche details, but I just feel like, you know, 8 lines of a conversation about comparing your licenses, like, girl, get up. Like,
That's true. I
it's
mean,
okay.
whoever it is about, like, should be an organ donor. I feel like that's a really important thing. But I hear it as from the perspective of Joe because of the kid and the like getting married. But she does also in a Matty Healy song say that like he moved the ring from her like middle finger to the finger
The
you get
one, the finger
married.
you put rings on, which just gave me the same feeling as, and not the shade that's thrown, but under where a tree is grown and the ring is on my finger that married people put rings on their finger.
That's a T, but I really like that line. So,
The only thing that makes me think Maddie is she says torrid affair, but I also do think that her and Joe were a little back and forth and on again, off again. So, like, you know,
yes,
it seems like it was kind of squiggly.
I fully agree that there's a one part I don't remember what song it was, but
Oh
where
wait,
she
also
says
it's age gap in that relationship too, or in the song. Like
in
there's
the
one line,
manuscript.
yeah, where it's like she wishes that she was 30 and like she got older and realized something. There was some sort of age gap thing there.
I feel like the age gap thing is always referring to Joe because she calls him younger than her a lot.
Oh, I always think Jake Gyllenhaal or John Mayer. Like who knows? There's
Oh,
been so many,
yeah.
so many.
It's like a whole new universe.
Also, I feel like Joe would be an organ donor because he's like speaking up for Palestine. I feel like he would also be organ donor, but like John Mayer would probably be like, fuck it. I'm keeping my organs.
That's tea. I don't know who it's about, but honestly, I really like the lyrics, but the song itself is kind of mid. Like, it's a bad closer, in my opinion.
No, I think that makes sense. Okay, well, let's wrap some things up here with some questions that people put in for you on Instagram. And then we'll finish some things out. So first, every single person slid in and people who I know IRL texted me. You have so many fans. Like I cannot stress that enough. Every single person was like, I love Brian's videos. Like they crack me up. He's like the only thing that keeps me still interested in Taylor
That's so
Swift.
sweet.
Huge, huge, huge amount of fans that you have. So I want you to know that. And one questions was, what are your thoughts on the other Swift talk TikTokers?
I have a lot of Swift Talk mutuals. I like my mutuals a lot. Like whenever I've like gone through a hard time in my life, like my mutuals have given me like a lot of encouraging words. I think that I have beef with some. There are some that I've never connected with,
Oh my
and
God,
for
T,
that,
wait,
I've always had beef.
I'll tell you one if you tell me one.
Tell you one of what who I have beef with. Not that I have beef with them per se, but I would just like try to interact with them, and they wouldn't like interact with me or want to follow me back or things like that. But I know that. I'll tell you the ones that I love for sure. Kimberly and Sawyer, I love them. I love this girl Bethany, but I think her TikTok got taken down. I have beef with I've always not like really vibed with that girl Tatiana. I don't know if she's still around. There's this
Tatiana.
younger girl that everything felt very like. Like not fun, I guess. It was
Yes,
just
like
too
too
like
serious.
yeah. And then I've never really vibed with the Stephen Sully because again it was just too, it's too normy. Like it's like as if you're a like a doll or something where you can't have like continual thoughts about XYZ, especially pertaining to sex or drugs or like whatever. And I have been on Swift Talk only as an adult. So I've always had adult themes in all of my content.
Dude, totally. Like, I love the lightheartedness of it. And obviously, I feel like the Gaylers are so, like, they just, like, are a little bit more loose with it than, you know, obviously, like, the straight Swifties are. And I forget the name of the person. I had to block her, but like we were mutuals for a little bit. And I just always think like when I'm mutuals with someone, like I consider you my IRL friend. Like I
Me
just
too.
do. Like for some reason, I don't know,
When
I
someone
do.
breaks the mutual, I'm like, oh, stab in my
Yes.
heart.
Like it just feels like so personal. And I remember there was this girl, she was also a Gaylor and we were mutuals. And I put out a video maybe like 2 years ago saying this was when Jennifer Lawrence did the Vogue thing and she was like, the craziest thing you've heard on the internet. And she was like, that I fucked Harvey Weinstein or something like that. And I think I said a video saying that, like, you know, so many people talk about the blind items of Jennifer Lawrence and Harvey Weinstein. And I just feel like if you're reading the blind items or talking about it, I just don't think you should ever say, Harvey Weinstein like slept with Jennifer Lawrence, because like his whole MO was that he wasn't sleeping with these, like it wasn't sleeping with someone. It was like coercion. It yeah. was abuse. Like it wasn't just, ooh, do this and you'll get the job. It was, and if you don't do this, you're banned yes. from the industry. So there's coercion and like force and manipulation there. So I don't think you should use the phrase slept with, because it's not how other people would sleep with other people, because it's so different.
Yeah,
and she came into my DMs and she was like, so you basically think that you're basically saying Jennifer Lawrence got raped and you want people to say that. And jeez. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, no, like, I'm so sorry if it came across that way. Like, I didn't mean that. I just meant that, like, I don't want people to talk about it in terms of like, it was a tryst, because like, I just don't think that Harvey Weinstein, like, you know, had trysts. Like, I think that they were yeah. all nefarious. And she was like, no, but here in like the 32 second mark, like you said this, which means blah, blah, blah. And like, you can tell when you're arguing with someone online, my response is always just like, dude, I think I responded and I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, as someone whose brain came up with the words, like the, what I'm telling you my actual thoughts are is this. Yeah. And she's like, well, no, it's not. Cause in the video you said that. So I was just blocked her. Cause I was like, you can kind of tell when someone's like being a little bit crazy. And it's like, yeah, you just really just don't want to believe. Yeah. Like, you don't want to believe me. Like, you, like, I'm trying to have us come to an understanding and you just want me to say like, I'm an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. So sometimes that happens, but you know, it's always a sad day to lose a mutual. Cause I feel a connection.
Dude, I have a really sad story to share. I had a mutual where this was like the very beginning of my TikTok. And in the beginning of my TikTok, like I was very much like heterosexual Taylor. like that was the only way that I had known to interpret the lyrics, because I didn't even know people were calling her gay until I joined TikTok. And then I started switching up because I was like, oh, these theories are actually way better. But when I was making straight Taylor content, I had this mutual who I never knew what they looked like. They were called Mimosa. And mm-hmm. we like chatted every day because they would make like sounds for me to use, like different, like funny, like Taylor songs that like were mixed with like noises or whatever. And they were like, use my sound. And I was like, hell yeah. And then we eventually were like talking, like, how was your day? Like, we were friends for like a solid 2 months or something. And then randomly they were like, because you're making gayler content, I can no longer talk to you anymore. Like, I'm disgusted by this. And this is disgusting. Like, you need to back off. And then they like blocked me. And I was like, no, Mimosa.
Mimosa, come back, Mimosa. Come back to me. No, I've had that happen too. And it's always, I just had to block these words from my key, invasive and gross and speculate. Oh, yeah. I just block them because like anytime you say something, they're like, it's so gross what you're doing. And I'm like, okay, you're like, it is speculative and it is creepy. Like, I am a creepy pervert. But also, you guys keep talking about who broke her hymen. Was it, you know, John Mayer? Yeah, was it Jake Gyllenhaal? And is the scarf her hymen or is the scarf her clit, you know? And it's just like, okay, so you guys are also gross, just in a different way. Like, we're all speculating, but it's only bad when it's gay. Like, please. So yeah, when did you get into all of the Gaylor theories and, you know, what was like kind of your progression to being entranced by that?
I think I was like seriously into it when Evermore came out. And when I joined TikTok, I think Lover was out. Like, that's the era that was happening. Like, it was, what's it called? COVID? Yeah. That major pandemic. And Evermore came out and I saw people saying like, oh my God, she's so in the closet. And I was like, why do y'all want her to be in the closet so bad? Like, that's so hurtful. Like, it must really suck to, if she is in the closet, like her life must suck. And I made a video about it and everybody was like, yeah, that's the point. We're saying her life sucks because she's so in the closet. And they were like, haven't you heard? Like, she's like been dating Karlie Kloss for 12 years or whatever. And I was like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? And then people just kept on, like, they were really nice. Like the Gaylors who were like just teaching me things. They were like, yeah, no, I'll like tag you in the videos. And because they were so nice to me, I was just like mutualing them and just learning. And then I was like, fuck, there's so much content here to make jokes on. But then once I started making jokes about Taylor and Carly, like all of my other mutuals that were like very straight, did not like that. They were like, "What has this page become?"
Abomination. But
All
the, like
this
the Gaylers are so fun. Like they're just so sweet. They're so
page.
nice. I love the different lens. You almost get like historical lessons too when you like learn about all of that stuff. And there are so many things like chosen family, hide in the closet. I don't want you like a best friend. Like what's the straight explanation for all of those? You know, I don't know if there is one.
It's no coincidence to me.
All right, and then the last question that people asked you, and I am glad that people were asking this because I also want to know your opinion on it. How do you handle like the close-minded, insane Swifties who just like leave nasty comments? Like, what's your method of getting through that?
That's a really great question. I don't know. I just like avoid it, but I don't really get that too much on TikTok because now on TikTok, people kind of expect something weird from me. But
Yeah.
I get it a lot on Twitter because that place is just like rancid.
Yeah, I
And
can't search my name on Twitter. Like I used to do it starting out, and it's just like, oh my God, things get so misinterpreted on there. It's oh, heinous. Yeah.
Yeah, and because a lot of people really dislike me, people will just like randomly be like, "I hope Ryan dies," or just like something. And sometimes I will like respond and be like, "Hee hee." But then other times I'm just like, these aren't real people, like just chill," and then like put my phone down. But it is upsetting when people like randomly don't like you. Because I personally, I don't know if I'm biased, but I don't think I say anything that's like, "Oh my
No.
God, you're a terrible
No.
person."
Yeah.
But then I'm like, the things that they say that are bad that I say, like twerking to Taylor Swift's like Dead Grandma song, I'm
Okay,
like,
when you
I would do
twerked
that again.
Marjorie, like that. You twerking to Marjorie made me go, a la Taylor Swift, that's my man. I was like, yeah, he gets it. He's twerking to Marjorie. Like, it's fucking funny. Like, come on now.
I'm
It's
like, I
just, you
don't
didn't kill her grandma. Like, please.
know, but they act like I did.
You're
And, yeah, I'm like, I'm
twerking
kind of like, that's kind of funny. I would do that too. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm with you. I think that it's funny and I always admire it because like I don't know if you're the same, but I go through phases on TikTok where like I won't post a video for weeks because I just think to every time I post a video now, I go, am I in the mindset to be cyberbullied within an inch of my life by a 16-year-old? And then most days I go, no, so I don't make the video anymore. But you inspire me to like keep posting stuff because like when it's just for goofs and gaffs, it's just funny. And like we need more lightheartedness, especially, you know, in 2024. So
Yeah, totally
as
agree.
we wrap up here, what is your biggest skip of the album and your favorite song?
Biggest skip of the album is definitely that football song, So High
The
School.
Alchemy. Oh, so
Well,
high
oh
school.
yeah, So High
Okay.
School, the gay cruising or whatever exhibitionist vibes, not my
The
fave.
Cheeto dust fingering.
Yeah, oh God. It's so crunchy. I think my fave, that's such a hard question. It's either "I Can Fix Him, No Really I Can," or the other country one, the one that makes me a snail. I forgot what it's called though.
Back
Oh,
out of
Fresh
the
Out the Slammer.
Slammer.
Yeah, Fresh
Yeah,
Out the
Fresh Out the
Slammer. I really
Slammer.
like that one. That's good.
Yeah, unfortunately, my skip I think would be Robin or Clara Bow.
Clara Bow, I love
I
that.
know, I know. And then my two favorites I think are either "Who's Afraid of Little Old Me," and
Yeah,
weirdly
that's a
enough, "The
good one.
Prophecy." Like that song just like gets me, so I like it a lot.
Well, now it's my
Yeah,
fave
my sad story. She
because
Taylor wrote it for me. Well,
of
Brian,
you and
thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much for giving me all of this time. Like, I can't believe how long we went, but like, I just could talk to you forever. So, thank you so much, and I know
Yeah,
everybody's going
thank
to be
you.
very excited that you're coming on because everybody loves you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, this was super fun. I'm really glad that we were able to like fully discuss the album.
Same.
TTPTSD on repeat for a solid 3 months.
And maybe we'll have to have you back when some, you know, new eras come out with different vault tracks or something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Reputation.
I'm so excited for it. Well, everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us, and I will see you next week for another episode of Fluently Forward. Bye, guys.